Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We welcome Pittsburgher, Dr. John Davidson, Section Chief, Department of Radiology, University Hospitals of Cleveland, and Associate Professor, Case Western School of Medicine. Welcome back, John. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. So how big a game changer is this Johnson & Johnson vaccine already shipped, and maybe the first jabs will take place this morning?
Well, I think it's a big game changer, I mean, for a variety of reasons. Number one, it's our third vaccine that's out on the market, and we're making pretty good inroads with the two we have already. So a third is just going to open up all those bottlenecks that we're seeing with people getting vaccinated. And keep in mind, this is a single-dose vaccine, which makes a world of difference because there's a lot of logistics getting people back for that second dose. So there's a lot of optimism with this vaccine, for sure.
Now, this vaccine, these vaccines, and our social distancing and stuff like that have put the flu season way off into the distance. It seems like it's an afterthought at this point. Would there ever be a chance where something like this could, I'm not say eradicate the flu, but really just diminish it where we don't even have to worry about that in the future?
Yeah, I don't know if we'll ever come to a point where we're never going to have to worry about it. I think these types of viruses are always going to be around. It's just a matter of weakening them enough or building our immune systems enough where we can fight them off, where they become more and more irrelevant. And again, it all comes down to the vulnerable population. The vulnerable population, even if they get a minor illness or a minor virus, whether it's flu or anything else, they're more vulnerable than the rest of us. So I think flu is always going to be around, and it's just a matter. Same thing with this virus. This virus, hopefully, 2, 3, 5 years down the line, will still be around. We're not going to eradicate it, but it'll be such an insignificant thing that we can go on with our lives.
And that is the case with the flu. Prior to COVID, we went through a flu season. Some people got the shot, some didn't. And then there would be this death toll that, for the large part of the regular population, we wouldn't pay much attention to, but it was significant. Wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, some year, you know, we're talking 30, 50, 60, maybe as high as 70 to 80,000 people what could die from the flu a year. So we don't pay much attention to it because it wasn't a pandemic at the time. So again, it's the vulnerable people. Sure, do you hear of the rare 16, 18-year-old child that might get the flu and die? We had a case up here in Ohio about a year and a half ago, before COVID. They're tragic stories, but they're extraordinarily rare. This is different. This is a pandemic where we have currently, really, when it first hit the world stage, we had no treatment, we had no therapies, and most importantly, no vaccine.
Now, this Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which is going to hit the streets today, it's the third one. It's the least effective, I guess they would say, about of the three, but you don't. It's a single-dose vaccine. So what would be the drawback to this one? The other ones, people say, oh, I felt a little queasy for a day after the second vaccine. What's the drawback to this one?
So what I was going to say, Kevin, is don't pay attention to that this vaccine is less effective than the others. Everybody wants to concentrate on the numbers. This is like 68 to 72% effective, where Moderna and Pfizer were 95% effective. It's a little bit of apples and oranges. First of all three of them are extraordinarily effective at preventing hospitalizations and severe illness. What they studied with Johnson & Johnson was it was a little less effective in preventing the mild to moderate disease. But there were zero, I think the phase three trials that went on with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, hardly anybody was hospitalized and no one died after getting vaccinated. So that's the most important thing. Secondly, when they studied this vaccine, Johnson & Johnson, it was about 6 to 8 months later than when they studied the other vaccines. So different types of numbers. When the outbreak was at its worst. So you don't pay attention to that. If you're able to get vaccinated, just get any vaccine you can. Don't pay attention to this one's not as good as that. They're all equally effective.
We're with Dr. John Davidson, Case Western School of Medicine. And Doc, my question to you is, you heard the governor here in Pennsylvania, who's been considered conservative, restrictive-wise over the course of the pandemic, has opened things up a little bit. 15% indoor venues, which includes Pens Flyers tonight, 20% for outdoor venues. Yet you have the CDC head saying, take it easy. It's not a light switch. Everything's okay. So how, as a physician, do you handle that?
Well, I think the CDC is going to have to say that. I think what they were seeing over the last week or two, and again, these are very small data points. When everybody can relax is when we see these data points drawn out over months or even longer. So what we're seeing now is we're seeing a drastic reduction in cases across the country. But what we're seeing over the last week or two is kind of this plateau. And this plateau has been kind of at an uncomfortably high level. Even though our case numbers are down to like 60,000 cases a day, whereas in the height of this pandemic, they were over 100,000 a day. They're much, much less, but that plateau is kind of evened out over the last week or two. And what they want to be careful of is that if we relax all these restrictions and we get too liberal with everything, these numbers could spike again, especially with the variants out there. I think my personal opinion is as the weather gets nicer across most of this country, as the people, more and more people get vaccinated, I think we're in a really, really good position right now.
Well, that's really interesting. And because we are in a good position, let me ask you this. You're a sports fan. You're a huge Steelers fan. Grew up here in Pittsburgh. And, you know, 45 years ago, we would have been at my mother's table eating breakfast, getting ready for school right now, right before we played wiffle ball. Today, before we went to the bus stop, today is the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and a Penguins game. If you could make one decision today, would it be to go to the game or get vaccinated?
Well, get vaccinated, of course.
Well, you might be able to do that tomorrow.
Yeah, but he's a physician. That's why he's him and you're you. You would go to the
game.
Well, Doc, very practical question now. We heard Dr. Fauci on Friday. He was asked the question, if you're in a room with everybody in that room, is vaccinated, do you have to wear a mask? And he said, no. I think a lot of people were surprised to hear him say that. And then he kind of qualified it like, no, don't take that. If you're in a room and everybody in that room has been vaccinated, you're good to go, right?
Yeah, I think the general consensus is, especially amongst the medical community, that's the case. Yeah. I think why we can't stop wearing masks and we can't stop social distancing right away is because we just don't have enough people vaccinated. So especially if you're out in large groups of people, how do you know who's vaccinated and who's not? Once we get to that 50, 60, 70% people vaccinated, then you can really, really start to relax. I mean, we're talking, I just heard numbers yesterday that by the end of March, we might have 100 million people in this country vaccinated. That's phenomenal. That's almost a third of our population. So who knows what we're going to have by July. Now, again, there still are people out there that don't want to get vaccinated. So hopefully with more and more people getting vaccinated, it's kind of like this, it'll feed into it. They'll see it's safe, it's effective, and it'll convince those people to get vaccinated as well.
Do you find it interesting the comparison between Florida and California? Both did vastly different ways of handling the COVID-19 outbreak, but the numbers were similar. Do you find that interesting?
Yeah, I do, because, you know, everybody wanted to criticize Governor DeSantis down in Florida for being so, you know, kind of reckless with his restrictions, but, you know, or opening his restrictions. A lot of this is, it's hard to compare state to state because geography's different, temperature, climate's different, everything's different. We're such a heterogeneous population. So just because you do something in Florida doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work just as well in California and any other state in this country. That's the problem. We're so heterogeneous.
All right. Before you go, the most important question is, it's Ben Roethlisberger's birthday. Is he going to remain with the team this year?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean,
so
I think
too.
They're working on a deal.
Sounds like. You're right. Doc, always good to catch up with you. It is kind of a breakthrough moment for a lot of people mentally, especially when our governor said we're loosening things up a little bit. At least it looks like there's hope on the horizon.
Yeah, I almost fell over in my chair here when you said your governor was conservative.
Well, conservative in the sense of...
I'm teasing.
Conservative in the sense of his restrictions. Yeah, I should qualify that.
You All right. say that.
All right, Doc, have a great day. Thanks.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, Doc.
Dr. John Davidson up there in Cleveland. He's a Pittsburgher, though. Don't be fooled.
So we used to get together, have breakfast, and then play a little game of wiffle ball or some physical activity before we went to school.
Yeah, well, we know who was looking at his books also, maybe more extensively.
My books were used as bases.